real big area today because, you know, because of the, some of the things that we see out there, too. Not only is reactivation important, but we have to look at what are we doing to really retain our people. And the importance is really taking a real hard look at what do you do, because there's so many associates in this world that they spend their life in network marketing, and they think that network marketing is all about, you know, running around contacting thousands of prospects and getting people signed up as fast as possible. And we just get the more the better, and we just continue to sign people up and sign people up and sign people up. And there's no question that, that it's critical that we do sign people up, that that's part and parcel of what we need to be doing day in and day out, that we need to be touching other people's lives. But the other part of it is what about the people's lives you already touched who made the commitment to get started on the products? You need to really look at yourself and say, what is my continuing obligation to those people? And I think we have a huge continuing obligation. It's called customer service is what it is, and this whole world is run by customer service today. If you haven't figured that out, that's where the direction that everyone in sales is going. It's all about customer service. It's why, you know, the U.S. market in cars has gone to pot. We don't even, more than 50% of all vehicles sold in the United States today are foreign, because customer service is just awesome when you start looking at what Toyota does and these other companies. And people are just, they're keyed into, I want service. I want service. I want to be taken care of. I want to have a quality vehicle. I want a quality this, and I want to be taken care of. So you need to develop a customer service plan for your business. And if you don't have one, then you're not in the business. You're just playing at it. You're toying at it. You're choosing bits and pieces of it instead of the whole package. So you start looking at what is your customer service plan that you have, what kind of retention, and we call it a retention plan because that's what it is. It's about retaining customers and retaining business people in your organization. We're going to look at both of them today because some people can develop a great customer service plan around consumers, but they fail to service their business builders. And if you don't service your business builders, they're not going to have them very long. They'll find something else to do. So first of all, what I'd like to do is examine reasons why people quit. And there's a statistic out there that tells us 80% of all people who start a home-based business quit in their first year. And that's an overwhelming statistic. I mean, that's huge. And why is that happening? Why do we see 80% fallout in the first year of people who start a home-based business? And these are reasons that came out of an article that was well-written by a big network marketer. I can't remember the fellow's name, but he was a huge network marketer. He gave all these reasons. Just number one is lack of support. So they're just not getting support. They're left to drift. And you can look at people in your organization that you may have left drifting. You know, drifting doesn't work. It probably, most of you were not drifting in the first place, or you went out and found support. And even if you didn't have proper upline support, because that happens from time to time, network marketing is a kind of a funny business that way. We hear about it through the grapevine, and then we sign up because a friend of ours has gotten well from some condition or something, and so we sign up because we think, oh my gosh, this can help my family, and all of a sudden we develop a passion for it, and we start looking at the person that signed us up, and they have no interest in the business at all, and there's no way in the world they're going to support you or help. So you just keep climbing, and then you get people that say, well, I'm not going to support you too far down in my organization, or you get all sorts of jazz. There's a lot of jazz going on out there, but then you might find cross-line, like a lot of you, I know there are a lot of people that are on my Monday call that feel like they're almost like orphans. They're kind of abandoned in their downline, and they're looking for support. And so there's so many mechanisms. It's not just about Mary Jo. It's a, even if you, there are other people that do a lot of outreach programs and helpful things that they are all inclusive. It's not a limited just to my group. You know, that old Amway way is definitely not an effective way of doing networking, that's for sure. So we open ourselves up to support each and every person because the mission is the mission. It's not about us. The focus is on the mission, and that's where we keep the focus. So lack of support is a big issue. So you've got to make sure that, you know, even if you don't have upline support, don't deny your people in your organization the kind of support they need. And tap into other resources, whether they're, you know, Don and Wendy Kramer do, you know, biweekly trainings, and they have a great website that they're now developing around training. Of course, mine is ManaTrain, and Terry Petrovic has his, and there's just a lot of them out there that are available for you to tap into. Your own upline probably has some training vehicles and things. Just utilize them. Find the tools and utilize them. Utilize Manatech's training that they have, their cornerstone trainings. But you need to find a system, so you need to support your people. And we'll talk specifically more about that. Never set their goals. That's a big one. And I'll tell you one thing, our saddest issue around that is that if you don't set your goals, you can't have an expectation of other people doing it. So it starts with you. You set the example. I mean, I set my goals. I revamp them mid-year. I'm a big person around goal setting because I know the critical importance of them. I didn't historically in my life, but over all the books I've read over the last 10 years just around this industry, my goodness gracious, there isn't a book out there that doesn't basically start with the importance of setting goals. And it really is about focus, power of focus, and getting yourself focused on the right things so that you don't get off track. You don't get on bunny trails and diversions. Goals are clear tracks. And then acknowledging the critical importance of visualization, the power of visualization. And if you don't set goals, you don't have something to look at. You don't have a visualization of where you're going. So you're going to get exactly there. Where? Nowhere. Because you don't have a fixed goal. You don't have something that's clear a path and a clear directional signal for you in your life. No true vision for themselves and their business. So vision is important too, and that gets into mission. It's just about drafting, finding out the core being of you, getting back to your core principles, what's guiding your light, what's your compass in your life, and then from that, developing a mission statement so that you really have a vision for your life. It's not just about playing life small. It's a bigger way of playing life. So developing that true vision, very important, because that is what keeps the vision to me. Goal setting is the step-by-step pathway, and the vision setting is the overall net results. And without vision, and it's great, Scripture even tells us people perish without vision. It's just, you know, we perish without. We need to have a vision. We need to have that net result looked at. We need to have a big picture of our life. And I think it's so critical that when it's lacking, that what happens is we lose our commitment to persevere. I think the one thing vision gives us more than anything else, besides, you know, a direction in our life to keep us on track, but it also it allows us to persist. No matter what happens, it allows us to persist. The next one is never develop a passion for the products. And sometimes that happens when you find business builders who just want to make money. If they don't develop a passion for the products and really believe in them, it's going to be hard for them to be effective. So passion for products is crucial. In fact, a lot of the people that are most effective in Manatech have pretty phenomenal testimonials around how the products impacted themselves or members of their families. And that's what developed that passion, of course, the experiences they had around them. Never make any money. That's a big issue why people quit. And again, that's just a great understanding to have of how does the comp plan work and how do we grow and getting people on path with goals so that they can create the money that they desire. And then the other reason that people quit is no sustainable educational program. And to me, that's really a statement of their failure to grow. If people aren't in an environment where they continue growing, I think that they start looking elsewhere. Growth is an important part of life, and so you want to have some kind of sustainable educational programs around growth, you know, whether it's self-development work or it's going in a direction of, you know, trainings and different trainings from time to time that people can really grow and develop. And you know, I can honestly tell you that I just started the power trainings last week, and I know some of you are in those, and what a blessing it is, just the feedback and the homework coming in and watching people just on one session of 1 hour. Wow, what a shift, what a lot of info, what a lot of input, what a lot of insight people are getting for themselves on basic issues. But it's just that you know, the power to grow, the power to see yourself differently, the power to change the direction of how you're doing things, because something's not at peace in your life. Something's not, you know, causing unrest, and how to tackle that so you can move forward more effectively. So you want to be able to have, you know, sustainable educational programs. And again, you can look outside. These aren't things that you, as a leader, have to develop yourself. If you thrive on them, like Mary Jo does, she loves training and education, and I'm just a, you know, I can't. There aren't enough books on the face of the earth for me to read and learn from. But a lot of people, you don't have to do that. It's just tap into other people's resources. There's tons of it out there. There's just endless amounts of ways to help people grow and continue in their growth path, and tap into them and make them available to your organization. That's the importance of that. So you offset the reason. if you get rid of the reasons why people quit, then people don't quit. Does that make sense to everybody? I mean, it's kind of a simple concept, but the problem is we don't do it. It's the old famous Jim Rohn saying, you know, it's simple to do, but you know what? It's simple not to do. And so people end up not doing it. So we need to recognize, that's why I like to go to the core of the foundation of why do people quit, and, you know, look at those reasons so that you have a foundation of why you need to implement certain things and make things available to your organization. The other thing we'll talk about basically is extrinsic motivation is not enough. It works for about a minute, and that really gets into the concept that you go to motivational seminars and you hear people speak and, you know, you get really hyped up and get really excited. But the problem with it is you can get really excited around motivational stuff, but it's not going to stay with you. In fact, I always laugh. I tell people, you know, you'll go to hear some great speaker, and Jim Rohn was a great motivational speaker. There are a lot of great motivational speakers. You go and you hear this stuff, and you get in your car, and you're so excited, and then somebody, like, tries to run you off the road on your way home. Well, guess what happened? All that energy you had from that conference is gone in just the snap of a finger. One negative thing happens in your life, and your anger becomes overwhelming, and all of a sudden you've lost so much of that because it's a statement of what? It's a mental state. It's a feeling state. It's not a in-depth core change that you went through. There wasn't a change in your core beingness. It was a feeling change. So extrinsic motivations are very hard to get people going. And the three motivations that we typically have, if we talk about extrinsic, it's not just motivational seminars where you get emotionally hyped up. The three extrinsic motivators, most of them are money, recognition, and rewards. We look at money as really important. Recognition is really important. We get recognized for things. But, you know, that wears off. How many on this call were recognized as a regional director or a national director or executive director at some time? I mean, is that something, you know, if it didn't happen in the last 3 months of your life, then it's already worn off and you're going, okay, next. You know, you're already getting the hammer out and going, oh, I hear this a lot too. Oh, I've been an executive for 3 years and I just can't make any, or 5 years or 8 years, and you get the hammer out and you start hammering yourself. Well, that extrinsic motivation didn't work very long, did it? No. And because we right away find things to downgrade us on. It's our you know, our approach to life. We're kind of funny that way in human beings. We're never enough. We can't look back at greatness. We always want to look at shortcomings instead of focusing on greatness. So extrinsic motivations aren't enough. Whether it's short-term money or recognition or rewards, it's not enough. Brian Clemmer, you know, he looks at the concept of motivation as kind of, it changes behavior, but it changes behavior in the short term. And he likes to make the comparison of us to like an M&M with a nut in the middle. And he says the outside candy coating is our behavior. And that's what's impacted by motivational. Extrinsic motivations impacts that candy coating, but what we need to do is impact the core. We need to go into the nut. What is the sum and substance of who we are? And that comes from more intrinsic motivation. If you want people to have persistence and perseverance, it's going to take intrinsic motivation. And that means that it's something inner. It's a part of who you are as a person. It becomes part of, you become attached to the purpose or the mission in such a significant way that it's part of who you are. Like this whole paradigm of wellness, we can talk about it, but is it truly who you are? And for most people I've met in Manitowoc, it truly is. In fact, most of us are very passionate about what we need to do in this world to make it a better place, that we need to shift this paradigm away from drugs. I mean, I'll share with you, I was at a women's prayer breakfast meeting this Saturday morning, and one of the women at the meeting started talking about her mother, and her mother had been on major drugs, and she was getting worse and worse, and she just thought her mother was going to die. Her mother was in her early 80s, and they had been diagnosed with Parkinson's. Two of her fingers twitched, okay? And that doctor said, oh, I've seen that before, and that's Parkinson's, and then he put her on some other drugs, and the woman at the meeting just said, you know, I just prayed about it, and I got so frustrated watching my mom, and I just thought, there has to be a better way. This isn't even worth it. She can't even get up and clean the house. She can't do anything. So she just chose to take her off the drugs. Now, I'm not suggesting that's a good thing to do, because, my goodness, certain drugs you don't want to touch, but she took her off of virtually. She only left her on one medication out of her five medications. And, you know, within 24 hours, she got a phone call from her mother, and she gave this scenario. She said, It was unbelievable. My mom goes, "Hi, how are you, Gran? How are you doing?" What? And she's going, "Mom?" She couldn't believe it. It was like a flash in the past. And her mother cleaned the house. She went out shopping with her that day. She did. I mean, it was 24 hours. Now, I don't know how drugs get out of your system that fast, but probably it could have been a drug interaction. And I'm not sure it was like, it might have been, she took her off the drugs, so she might have been off for 2 days or something. But, I mean, incredible. And so the passion that I have and the passion that many of you have is so crystal clear. Because we know that we know there's a better way. And it's not that we want to get rid of our medical industrial complex. It's just that we need to have integrative medicine. We need to look at drugs as a last resort, not a first resort. We need to help people nutritionally. We need to try to keep them on track with their exercise and diet and their nutrition and their supplements and only rely on the medical industrial complex as a last resort. And we just have gotten screwed up in this country. In fact, there's a great article out there. I don't know how many of you guys got it. It's just off, you know, it's a little bit off the talk this morning, but and I'll be more than happy to send it around if you don't have it. But it's an article that came out called U.S. Ranks Just 42nd in Life Expectancy. And it was came out August 11th. And it's just another great article about why we need the paradigm shift. If you can't use that in your new surge on wellness, I'm telling you, people, it's just another tool to use on your surge in wellness, going after the wellness paradigm, that we rank 42nd in life expectancy out of 220 countries. We're ranked 42nd. That's an abomination. And, you know, you remember how many people you hear out there say, "Well, Mary Jo, I don't know why you say I should take supplements. You know, you say that, you know, 100 years ago we ate better, but we have a much longer life expectancy today." And I'm like, oh, let's get over it. You know, there might be certain, you know, of course, we always respond to that with the deaths at childbirth. They were huge. There used to be 2 out of 3 babies at childbirth. You know, we had, and you didn't have simple things. Like, you know, like penicillin. I mean, there's certain things in medicine that have saved lots of lives because we didn't have ways to counteract it in the past. But the absurdity is that we've gotten so carried away with it and now you have this piece of evidence that shows, yeah, we may have lived shorter back then, but why are we 42nd in the world? Because our healthcare system is totally defective, and we need to do something about it. So anyway, so again, getting back to intrinsic motivation, you know, that's what it's about. It's about building that passion and building that mission in our hearts of hearts. And I'm going to suggest to you that, you know, extrinsic motivators like money, recognition, and rewards, they can attract people. But the intrinsic motivators, i.e. the passion, the purpose, the mission, that's what causes them to stay. That's what causes that persistence, perseverance, which is so incredibly critical in networking, and that's what it's about. So how do we build that again? As I said earlier, manifest, you know, getting people just to have experiences, getting people around them, start on the products, and watching the differences they make in people's lives. It's just incredible how that plays out for people. Okay, so let's start peeking at a little bit about retention programs. And as all of you know, a lot of you have already been trained in my arena of my retention program. I have a 4-step consumer follow-up. I think consumers are hugely important. And first, I want to emphasize for all of you the importance of consumers. Consumers are like diamonds for you. They're diamonds. And too many of us get frustrated that we don't have enough business partners that we find when we go out and search. And I'm just going to tell you, yeah, it's great to find business partners and people who really want to drive this home as a business. And I love that, and that's great. But you know what? I love my consumers. And the reason I love my consumers is they're the ones that buy the products every month. They're the ones that are constant, consistent, loyal, committed, and that's why I treat them as the diamonds they are. Without those consumers, I wouldn't have GPV. Without those consumers, I wouldn't have people making an impact on their lives and their families' lives. And without those consumers, I wouldn't be getting the referrals I get from them when they see terrific results and I pursue them with the rewards program so that they, too, can earn something. But consumers are invaluable people. They're diamonds, and don't ever lose sight of that. When you sign somebody up who wants to just take the product, no interest in the business, you want to value them at the highest level. You want to treat them as a diamond in the rough, and that's how we need to start viewing them instead of disappointment because they won't share the business. I remember people telling me, getting so irritated because they go, "My friend, she took the products. She had this remarkable recovery from XYZ disease. And she goes, and I can't believe she won't share with people. It makes me so irritated." And I just go, just love her. He goes, what do you mean? I go, just love her. I mean, she loves the product. She's totally committed. She'll never stop taking them. I said, just love her. You know, certain people are just not going to do it. That's okay. Don't make it wrong. Don't make people wrong. Allow people to be okay with the decisions they make. So, okay, so four-step consumer follow-up program. So how do I work with consumers? Well, my approach to consumers, number one, of course, I send out an immediate congratulatory letter to every single person who I sign up, every single one. They get it, and the letter goes out the same day that I put their application in on the Internet, same exact day. So they typically get their congratulatory letter before they ever even get a box. And why do I do that? For a number of reasons. The most important one is that I care. And it's an expression that I care. Because one of the things that every single buyer gets is what's called buyer remorse. The minute they buy something, they right away say, oh, did I make a mistake? Well, if they get a letter in the mail 2 days later that says, congratulations, you know, I just want to honor you and your decision to move forward and take a proactive approach to your health. I said, you will be so excited about the results you can obtain and, you know, improving your health and optimal health with glyconutrient technology. It's changing lives around the world. You know, here's your new number. And then so it's really important for people to get that acknowledgement. So right out of the box, they're getting a letter in the mail that says they didn't expect to get. I don't tell people they're going to. I just, you know, it's just part of who I am and what I represent to make sure they understand how much I care about their health. The other thing the letter does is it outlines exactly how they chose to take the products. And I make it really clear. I don't put in there, this is what I prescribed for your disease condition called blank. No. It doesn't say any of that. It says, here is what the products that you're going to be receiving, and this is how you have chosen to take them. So it's kind of I make it their decisions, not my decisions. And we've already discussed that in our meeting, so they're clear, but they get a written confirmation of it outlining it. And then they have a checklist. They can check in the products that they get in their box right off of the checklist out of your letter. So it serves a lot of purposes. The other things I use it for is I put in there how to take the Manitech products, taking the Manitech products, which gives them the idea of, you know, factors that may impact them that could cause them not to have the results they might be looking for. You have to take it long enough and take enough products, and then describing the cleansing process. So I have that letter in there, include a little note in there on that or page, and then I also put a page in there that was written by a doctor about how nutrition takes time. Because I don't want them to believe that, you know, they should swallow these products for 5 days and feel better, because that's our drug paradigm. So it's a great ability, again, to communicate how much I care. 5 days after that, that's the step one. So it's and you have all of those. Lydia, I believe, attached all of my consumer follow-up program. You can't say you don't have it. And the second thing I do is I call them in 5 days just to acknowledge that they've received their products and make sure they open them, because I've had too many people that get their products and then they don't open them for a few weeks and then all of a sudden they get an auto order and they're backed up. I don't want them backed up in the first 30 days. I'm not going to allow that to happen. Plus, what's more important? I care about their health and I want them on the products yesterday, not a month from now. So I'm anxious for getting them started. So it's a great opportunity for me to again show how much I care and walk them through opening the box and getting started if they have any questions. 2 weeks later, I call them again because I want to make sure if they're going through a cleanse response that I can help them through that or any other responses they might have. And many times in that two-week later call, they're already ready to sign up their husband or their daughter or their grandmother or their this. It's crazy. You get more sign-ups out of that without asking for referrals just because they've already started and they thought it was a good idea, so they're sharing. You know, a lot of people share it before they have a result. They don't have to have a result. They share based on the science and the education that they got. So you can use that as a great tool to get more people started. But it's most important to just make sure they're consistent, they're taking it, they didn't quit because they had a cleanse response. You want to make sure they're happy with the products they're taking. And make other suggestions for them if they need them. And then my fourth step in terms of consumer follow-up is I send the letter out 3 weeks after they've signed up, and the purpose of that is to, you know, open up the door to them to know that they're about to get their first automatic order. And you can see that letter is also attached to the outline today. So it's just warning them that their auto order is coming, and this is what I do for my entire family. It gives you the best possible price, and here's the products that are coming. In addition to that, you know, check the catalog out. There might be additional products you'd like to add and you know, learn about, and that's it. So that's a four-step consumer follow-up. Now, the other things I also do with my consumers, I invite them to all local events. I keep kind of like a regional contact list that I put people in different regions, and then what I do is if there's an event, if they're a doctor speaking or something, I'll make sure that I send them to hear the doctor, because that really helps boost their confidence in the products they're taking. So even if they're not business builders, I still want them to go to local events. I wouldn't typically send them to opportunity meetings unless, again, the opportunity meeting was being done by somebody that, you know, is very medical-oriented, so they can get a better introduction to that, what they're taking. But you want to get them out to local events. Treat them, you know, like they need more education, because the more education, what am I trying to do here, people, when I do that? I'm trying to build the intrinsic value for them. I constantly focus on building their intrinsic value, because I know my consumers will stay with me longer if they start building their intrinsic value. And the way to build intrinsic value is getting them more exposure. If you don't expose your consumers to more information, they're going to lose their impetus to continue on the product. So if you have a hard time with fallout on your people, I'm going to suggest that somehow you're dropping the ball and helping to build intrinsic value for them. And you need to take more action in that direction. Does this action take a lot of time and energy? No. No. You just dedicate a certain part of your week to what? Consumer follow-up. And you dedicate a couple hours a week, and I can guarantee you can cover all of that in that short period of time. These follow-up phone calls take virtually no time. I mean, and putting out a letter to somebody about automatic orders is just a matter of changing the name and address on a form letter you have on the computer, and then typing in the different products they're getting. It's very simple to do. But again, it's simple not to do, too. So, but you want to be proactive, and you want to be constantly, you know, involved in their lives to help support them to continue on this path. So I invite people to all their local events. And on my Mana Mail, and a lot of you are familiar with the Mana Mail concept. I've been talking about it for years, but it's just a monthly newsletter. We have a group of 12 people that, you know, take it on every year. Downline, you can set it up cross-line. It doesn't have to be downline. Where you just draft a couple articles, and you slap together a newsletter, and all we do is, I mean, it's so simple, but it's amazing how many people. I'll talk to you about that prayer breakfast I was at on Saturday morning. This woman that's in her 80s is at the prayer breakfast, is actually at her house. And she, in the middle of this prayer breakfast meeting, somebody talked about something, about some, you know, health issue or something. And Barbara Wellman she said, you know what, people, I got this newsletter from Mary Jo about a month ago or so, or a few months ago, I don't know when it was. And she said, and it talked about, you know, all these things that plasticizer, parabens, preservatives that we have in our deodorants. And she said, I was so shocked. After 40 years of using this deodorant, I just looked at the back of it, and it was full of that stuff. So she said, I went on the internet and I did all this research and I found this herbal deodorant. And she just got it. You know, she was in seventh heaven educating me. I sat back and I just had to smile to myself. I just knowing that Mana Mail created this, and it's beautiful. So those Mana Mails, you never know what they're going to be. It's not about selling Manatech products per se, but the Mana Mail helped educate this woman to take a new direction with regard to her deodorant, and now she's sharing it with the world. I mean, is that not our mission? And that's the beauty of what we have. It's the beauty. And, of course, the whole article, I know which one it was. It was about the skincare line, because that's where we really heavily discussed preservatives and parabens, and we talked about how they're found in deodorants and all sorts of things. And she picked up on that article, and she just ran with it, and now sharing it with the world. So Mana Mails are important because, you know, if they fall in love with the education they get in the Mana Mail on a monthly basis, I'm going to guarantee you people are going to stick with your product because they want to continue getting that information. That's part of how they educate themselves, and they can go out and be educated with other people. They can support other people, and people can learn from them, and they feel, wow, this is so cool to get some information that's totally valid, that supports me in being more educated and helping support other people. So keep in mind that Mana Mails are just a neat thing. And again, if you get 12 people to do them, how much energy does it take on your part? Well, you get 12 different people to do it, the reason being that you only have to do one in an entire year. And drafting a couple articles, I know some people are writing challenged. And you know, what we do in our group is we just send, everybody drafts them, and they'll just send them into Lydia. I'll look at them, edit them, and we'll put them into a format and then send it out back out to everybody. You can get, you know, put your entire Mana Mail list or whoever you have on it that's going to receive it on a little disc, and run to the Office Depot, and they run them with the names and addresses already pre-printed on them. And all we do is fold them over, staple them, put a stamp on, and mail them. Some people do it by email. They'll email out their mail. I don't tend to do that because I think that's subject to the delete button. I think people throw more of their emails away today than they do their mail. So I send mine out in the mail, and it seems to be really, I mean, all I've gotten is great feedback from it, so I highly recommend that you do it. And people stay on my mana mail, you know, as long as they want to stay on it. We do a check back once a year where we call people and we just say, are you happy with the mana mail? Are you liking what you receive? Especially people who aren't ordering products. Because I'll send them out to prospects. I'll send mana mails to people that haven't ordered in a while and you know, to see if I can help trigger them to start ordering again if they read what's in the mana mail, and that's happened too. So anyway, so that's just a great tool to use for, you know, consumers, to keep your consumers involved and active in their education process on health. And then the last thing that we do is we try to contact everybody every couple weeks, because as a consumer goes along, and this is really came out of the Ian Harvey approach, which I love so much, as the consumer program came along, consumers don't, you know, they don't necessarily have a great response to the products in the first month. But if you call them every couple of weeks and just touch base with them and see how they're doing, making sure they're okay, and eventually when they have a good response, then you want to make sure you want to go, you know what, I was just ready to start introducing you to the rewards program. Let me describe to you what that looks like for you, because you could actually get these products for free. And just talk to them about the referral program. I call it, you know, or Ian calls it a rewards program. I think I like that language better than referral, because referral is too, you know, it sounds like you're giving references or something. Really, that's what you're asking for. But the concept is to give it a name, rewards program, because what it does is it rewards you for referring people. And then they can get their products for free, and that's when we introduce the team bonus, you know, and getting other people involved, and you can earn the team bonus. Because these are, again, just consumers. They could grow into business builders. We never know. And if they express an interest, wow, that opens a whole floodgate for us. But it's allowing people to choose where they want to be, you know. And through the rewards program, you can make it evident to them that there are massive, even greater rewards available if you really like to take this on as a mission or as a business, whatever their ilk might be, and direct them that way. Okay, so there's your consumer follow-up, and then the retention program for business partners. Of course, looking at your business partner, you know, anytime you have a new business partner that comes on board, one great thing is to kind of get a welcome team together. In other words, find 5 or 6 people in your organization, send out the person's, you know, email address or post office address, and say, please help me welcome this person aboard as a new business partner in our organization. It doesn't. You can be cross-line. You don't have to be downline or upline from somebody. You could do it cross-line, whatever, because these are people that are going to be on calls together and see each other at Manifest. But just the concept that new business builder who just signed it up as an all-star, came in at the all-star level, and is starting to do it as a business, all of a sudden gets 5 letters in the mail from people just saying, hey, welcome aboard. We're so excited you're on board with us. I mean, the enthusiasm that rings out, and many of you don't do. I haven't done this in the past, but coming across this, I think it's a great idea. I think it's something that you can implement very easily and just, you know, make sure it becomes part of who you are. It's a welcome team that just, again, helps, you know, instill greater levels of enthusiasm with people and feeling a part of a team. You know, that's such a big part of our networking, is to feel that you're a part of a team, that you're not a solo operation out there. You also want to go to work with them immediately. Too many business people are brought on board and they're kind of cast out there and left alone. Or they just say, build your warm list and start calling people and sending packs out, and that's it. Well, I really think that every single new business builder, you ought to have 5 or 6 three-way calls with them right off the box. I mean, it's so critical, because they don't know what to say. And in this world of new compliance, man, they really don't know what to say. So you're sitting out there with a situation where you really want to support the people and you want to make them as most effective as possible, which means you want to be able to participate with them and get them on three-way calls so they can hear how you describe the science. They can be educated and be learning at the same time, but you don't want to hold them back from prospecting. And what holds them back and keeps them from being effective is that they don't know what to say. They're fearful of what to say. They fear they're going to say something wrong. They have fear of rejection. They have all this stuff. Are you kidding me? I can only begin to tell you the fears that are out there. They're everywhere. And they have them, as a new person, they have them more so than somebody down the road, but people who've been in Manatech 8 years still carry these fears with them. So what you need to do is help them overcome those fears, and that means by bringing your level of confidence and commitment to them to the table by doing three-way calls with them. That's another great aspect of the Ian Harvey system, too. It's mandatory. The first six people they get a hold of, you do three-way calls with. It's mandatory, and that's just to get people in as consumers. And then he has you do, you know, 10 to 15 people on a list to find three business builders, and you support them in all those calls. So, you know, it's just a great way, again, it's you're going to work with them. You're making them the most effective they can be right out of the box, and that's what's going to help retain them, because if they're not effective, they're going to get back into one of the reasons why they quit. They don't make any money at it, right? They just never get there. So you want to make sure that you help them make money right out of the box, that they start, you know, earning their team bonus, they start working on their power bonus, and they start getting sign-up bonuses so that they can see there's cash flow that's generated from this business. The other thing, C in the outline talks about putting a training program together for accountability, and there are plenty of those out there. I know Petrovic's got one. I have one, obviously, on the manatrain.net website. It's a seven-step program, and that's an example, just an example of a specific program. You have a training program. You put them through steps of accountability and getting things done. And of course, part of that's going to be goal setting and other things. You want them to take part in all of that. If they don't want to do that, then they're not really interested. And they might be just solo operators out there, but solo operators typically don't do well in this business, because this business takes a lot of teamwork, a lot of support, a lot of, you know, camaraderie and fellowship among people. It's not a, you know, solo operation. You could find people that can do it solo, but you're going to find one of those every 10 years, and I don't think you want to grow your business that way. So support people, and the way you do that is you put training programs in place for them to and really, really, really hold their feet to the fire to follow through and do it. It's the best way to get them the education they need, get them on track with goal setting, understanding personality quadrants, all the things that are going to really help them in terms of doing their business most effectively. And then the last thing I put on for business partners is secure commitments from them to attend national and regional events. Again, another commitment on building the intrinsic value. Going back to securing the intrinsic value, because we need to keep them motivated, and intrinsic is the best way to do that. It's just all the events that are coming up and all the regionals that you have in your area as well. So that's kind of in a nutshell, people. Hopefully this helps everybody in terms of looking at, you know, what you want to do and develop. And some of you who are brand new on the call, I just don't want you to get overwhelmed by it and say, oh my gosh, how am I going to develop? Again, you don't have to have this all in place on day one. I surely didn't. My first year in network marketing, I was all over the place. I mean, I was like doing meetings left and right and calling people, blah, 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 running around like my head chopped off. But as you start building an organization, when you start getting 10, 15 people in, you really got to start looking at how am I supporting them. Because if you talk to the average networker, you're going to find out that the first 10, 15 people they may have gotten in, they probably, you know, it looks like my first leg. I have my first leg in my organization, you know, like qualifying leg. I have like 12 people in it, and there's not one of them ordering today, and about six of them are actually dead. I mean, really dead. Now, that doesn't have to be said, but that's the reality of what happened with that leg. I was out there being too aggressive with getting people signed up, and they never panned out. They never worked it, and a lot of it had to do with me than it had to do with them. Could they have been business builders? Maybe. But I'm never going to know today. But the reality is that we start seeing the picture of where we need to go, and we develop those other skills, and we put these things in place as quickly as we can to be ready and willing to support people in a significant way so they are most effective. Okay, I'm going to take everybody off mute, and we're just going to talk a little bit if we have any questions. Joel. Okay, everybody. Did we learn anything today?
Yeah. Excellent. Excellent.
Good.
Very good.
Mary Jo, can I give a comment?
Sure.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. Is that Cheryl?
Nope, actually it's Dr. Gwen.
Oh, Dr. Gwen, sure.
Yeah, and one of the things that I haven't kept a journal of my involvement with Mana People, but one of the important things that you said today, I'm just going to go back with a couple of things. I've written a lot of things down. Is number one is to connect you with someone and find out why that person is is listening, why that person is interested, what that person is about, and then also, as you indicated, what stops that, what hinders that, why does that person have this intrinsic motivation, and then what hinders that from going forward. And as we develop those group meetings and those individual people contacts, it's always relationships. I think you said that last time. This is about product. This is about mission. This is about motivation. This is about money. This is about, you know, all this stuff. But it's about people.
Yep. First and foremost.
And people have to be people.
Mm-hmm. And they're going to be people.
Right.
And there's greatness to that, and there's also, what, some problems to that. But the beauty of it is always loving them for being people. I mean, they're people are people. We have our shortcomings, we have our strengths, but loving on them and understanding that, and then, you know, working on what is that motivation, what is that intrinsic motivation, and supporting them where they are to help build that. Yeah. Great. Thanks, Gwen.
Mary Jo, do you have any hints on how to set this up, if you haven't set this up and you have, you know, pretty big downline?
Uh-huh. You mean in terms of your consumer follow-up program, something like that?
Yep, and getting your group on board, and, you know, do you use file folders to keep track of what you sent to everybody?
Not really. We use most of the stuff we do today is all computerized. So the minute we sign somebody up, we put into our computer program. We use the
Covey. Wow, you did a good job.
The Franklin Covey program, and we'll put in the four things. So that, you know, my to-do list on 5 days from now, on my to-do list will pop up, call so-and-so as follow-up. 2 weeks later, I'll have call so-and-so as a two-week follow-up. So we feed that right into our Franklin Covey program on the internet. You get it? So you can do it, but you can do it by, you know, I can tell you people, I started my business with a recipe box with different dividers for every month and then a 1 through 31. And every day, you know, like I could set up this program that way. I send I sign somebody up and I send the letter out. And then I put their card in a slot 5 days later, so that when I get to that day, I look in my recipe box and I get and I have like 10 cards in there. That tells me exactly who I need to call and why I'm calling them. They're following me, and it has all their information associated with it on that card. So there's plenty of ways you can do it manually. You can do it through ACT. You can do it through, you know, Franklin Covey system. They're just, you know, probably the preference is to try to computerize it today because it's the most efficient. But you don't have to. It's not mandatory because you're going to have people, some people that just don't like using computers, so you want to be able to give them a couple different choices on how they can do that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You bet. Anyone else?
Yeah, Mary Jo, you mentioned about Don and Wendy Kramer's and the Petrovic training.
Uh-huh.
Or can you give us more contact information on those?
Sure. Why don't I do this? Why don't I put an email together and just kind of give you information on how you can go into some of those? Yeah.
And then lastly, do you know if Manatech in general has ever had conversation or any intention of offering something like a ManaMail? I know there's other network marketing companies where the corporation itself offers that for a certain fee, and then all the, you know, everybody's sending out the same information every month. It's current. It's like, okay, let's talk about skincare this month because it's appropriate, you know.
Well, I think that what they're going to tell you that their Health and Living magazine is exactly that.
Okay.
Right. My problem with the Health and Living magazine, my problem with it, I like it, and I think it serves a great purpose, but it's totally impersonal. There's nothing.
Yeah.
It's not a contact from Mary Jo. My Mana Mail is drafted in such a way that when I send it out to all 12 people, they change the name and address, and it's from...
Right, yeah, I've seen that.
They personalize it, and that's the personal touch that I think is so critical. This is a personal business. It's about, you know, touching other people. So I don't see Manatech ever doing that for you. I don't think they're ever going to step up to that.
Would you ever be open to having people purchase that from you?
We never thought about that. We've helped other people put together their own, you know, groups. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, that could be a possibility. I'll open that gate up to the people that are preparing it.
It just really takes, you know, associates' attention off
benefit.
That.
Sure.
And I've seen it work in other companies.
Sure. I agree with you. I think no one has ever really talked to us about purchasing it, but maybe there's a, you know, for the people that
are
drafting
it. Yeah, I'm tickled to hear that you've done it because it's like I've been looking for someone that has.
Yeah.
Why reinvent the wheel?
Every month, yeah, I know. And that's
you know,
exactly
and if somebody's doing it, let's pay them.
Amen.
And
handle
it.
Yeah, I agree. Thanks. Okay, let me talk to the people and we'll get that out. We'll make a note of that. Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be a significant charge by any means. But
no,
it would
but
be something that would compensate the people that are actually drafting it. Yeah.
Exactly.
Great.
Mary Jo, we would also know then that it would be compliant.
There you go.
Worry about right now.
Exactly.
Mary Jo. We went to the Branson Regional, and one of the speakers talked about a new upcoming win-back campaign. Have they talked about that in the press calls or anything?
No, we haven't heard that yet. I brought it up in May because I thought it was so crucial back in May at the HUP meeting, and we haven't heard anything since then. The company talked about it, but they haven't. I haven't seen any announcement around it yet. Yeah.
Mary Jo, do you have any of your group who have been successful in using this fundraising program with Team Manitech?
Yeah, we have a couple people that have done coaches clinics and worked with summer coach groups. I think it's hard to do with a structured program during the school year because they can't recommend nutritional supplements. You know, there's especially in Texas, we have a specific law that says that anything that's not a pure vitamin or mineral supplement, if it has any kind of enhancement tendencies, in other words, like Amber Toast will enhance something or other. I mean, if you make any they say they can't use it. So it's really restrictive in what coaches can and can't recommend. They can recommend drugs, but they can't recommend nutritional supplements. Another problem with our current paradigm. But I think that if you work in clinics during the summer months, that's where you'll be most effective.
Mary Jo, what is that program that you were talking about using for your callbacks and stuff like that?
Franklin Covey. It's a great software program that Lydia and I've been using for almost a year now. I love it. Because
what
you can go on the internet. I think it costs you like $69 for. Or what is it?
$99.
Lydia says it's $99. Franklin Covey. You can go on the website and they have it's a contact program. And what it does, the beauty of it is you have to specifically extract it. You can put things on there for specific dates to pop up on specific dates. But the beauty of it is that I don't have to redraft my to-do list from day to day because it's automatic carryover until I delete it. And then we can separate out prioritize. We can separate out Lydia versus Mary Jo. And it integrates with Outlook right in the Outlook program.
How is it different than Outlook?
It's much more involved. Outlook doesn't give you the carryover. It doesn't do a lot of the things that we are looking for, the sophistication we are looking for.
Okay.
It's called Franklin Covey. Franklin Covey, FranklinCovey, Franklin Covey, COVEY. You can go to franklincovey.com.
Okay.
I believe that's their website.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Mary Jo.
You betcha. You bet.
Mary Jo, the article that you...
Jo? I can hardly hear you. You're real light. The article what?
The article.
On 42nd in life expectancy. You guys want me to send that out to everybody?
Yes.
Yeah. Please.
Okay. It'll go out in the next 5 minutes. Lydia heard you. Great piece.
Your business system, CDs are excellent. I think people should know, but that's available to them.
Thank you. Yeah, the business system CDs that she's talking about is the set of CDs that I drafted that DuplaPack carries, GlycoTools carries. That's about building systems for your network marketing business. It's a set of two different CDs with downloadable forms on them. And one of the things it covers is the retention program, the consumer retention program, but it covers so much else. And I thank you for your comment. Yeah, I appreciate that people are really enjoying it out there in the field because it's so critical to be structured in your business. Yep.
Mary Jo?
Uh-huh.
Do you know if the Sweet Language of Life, the international version, is compliant?
My understanding is that it is, but I haven't heard word from Manitech is really not putting a blessing on anything except their own materials right now, but that doesn't mean things aren't compliant. Are you following me? But the Willens have both said that their international is compliant. Because understand that they've had many more restrictions internationally than we've ever had here in the U.S. So they never could use testimonials and stuff like that. Over in Australia, they were totally banned from using any third-party material. So there's been a lot of restrictions out there independent from what we're seeing us going through now.
So what is the international version? Is it just they took out the testimonials?
Uh-huh, I believe so.
References?
Okay. So, Joe, how do you get on that
ManaMail? You can't get on the ManaMail. It's really limited to my group right now, but I put it down as a note to talk to the people drafting it and see if they want to make it available to other people for a price, and then we'll make a comment on that next week.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, sure.
Mary Jo, did Rick contact you from Glycosystem about your...
Yeah, I think he called Lydia last week when I was out, and he says, I just want you to know that I've contacted you now about your DVD.
Well, I think he's open. He said he's open.
And I will talk to him. I haven't talked to him yet. It was kind of one of those, like I've done my job now. You do yours.
Two very busy people.
I know he is. I know. And I will call him. I will get a hold of him. Yeah. Thanks for making you must. It was probably generated because of your comments. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Yep. We'll do.
All right. Thanks.
Yep.
Great call.
Okay, guys. I got to run.